Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. Amanda Grace here with you tonight. We are live. Today is July 27th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. We're going to say hi to some of you coming in the chat as now they have been notified across our platforms that we are live. Hello to you. I see Nebraska. God bless you. Chicago, Illinois, and Pennsylvania and Ohio. God bless all of you as well. North Dakota, Tennessee, Missouri, and Long Island, New York. God bless all of you. We love our Long Islanders. We love our neighbors in Long Island. Let's see who else is in here. I saw Arizona as well. Hello and God bless you. El Paso, Texas. God bless all of you watching us. And hello to all of our viewers in Texas. We have quite a bit of viewership in Texas. I see Massachusetts, Colorado, Daytona Beach, Florida. God bless all of you. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I have some wonderful friends, actually, in Broken Arrow, including Clay Clark. So God bless all of you. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. Let's see. England, hello to our international audience and all of our viewers in England coming in. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. God bless you as well. I see North Carolina, Kansas, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Raleigh as well. God bless all of you. Oregon, I see coming in, as well as Louisiana and Kent, Washington. God bless all of you who are coming on tonight. Sagamore, Pennsylvania, Virginia, California, and Tennessee. God bless all of you. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Palm Beach Garden, Florida's, Michigan, Louisville, Kentucky. God bless you. Ontario, Canada. Hello to all of our wonderful Canadian viewers that tune in to us. God bless you. We're thrilled to have you on with us tonight. As well as Rhode Island. Let me tell you, Chris loves Rhode Island. And Chris has a best friend, Ricky, who happens to be our sanctuary manager, who loves Rhode Island as well. So they like Charlestown, Watch Hill area. Beautiful, beautiful area if you've never been. Oh, hello, Jamaica. Well, hello to our viewers in Jamaica tonight. We're thrilled to have you on with us. God bless you as well. Okay, someone wrote Massachusetts. We can only pray, people. We can only pray in the Northeast that it flips red at some point after the lunacy we're watching unfold. Okay, let's see. Gilroy, California, Garlic City. Well, God bless you guys who are growing all that garlic out there. Us Italians, we're thankful for you because we tend to use a lot of it. Okay, oh, we'll do a few more. San Diego as well. Hello to you in Northern Ireland. God bless you. We're thrilled to have all of our viewers in Europe who are on tonight as well. Very happy to have you on with us. And welcome to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up in prayer, guys, this topic tonight. This is going to make your mind do backflips to a degree in a good spiritual way. And we're going to get into America and the days of Noah. It's deeper than you think. That scripture and what's unfolding in America and globally goes way deeper than we initially think on the surface what was going on in the days of Noah. And we are going to break this all down for you, given the time and the season we are in. I think it's important for us to understand the depth of that scripture, the depth prophetically of America and how it's connected to it and what this all means. So let's open up in prayer. We're going to give this over to the Lord. And we're going to get started tonight. Praise the Lord. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we sin and fall short. Father, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, help us to seek your kingdom first. Teach us what pleases you today. Lord, equip us to walk in your ways. Father, help us to seek your face before we ever seek your hand. And Lord, we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly laid down his life at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We praise you that when Christ was at Calvary and he said, "Tetelestai," paid in full, he blotted out ordinances, he disarmed principalities and powers. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He miraculously rose again. He ascended back to be with the Father, where he victoriously rules and reigns at his right hand forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, we welcome your presence, your power, your might, your authority, the weight of your glory, the holiness of who you are, the weight of the conviction, Father God, of who you are and the throne that you sit on. We welcome that in, Father God, into this place. Father, mightily move tonight, Father. Let the Holy Spirit go forth and lead this broadcast and be the counselor and minister to those who are watching tonight. Father, we ask you go before us tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps tonight. Order my words, Father, as we go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team the humble privilege, Father, of being a vessel of your power. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask right now you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land, above and below, north, south, east, and west, and to guard against every dimensional access point, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over as we apply the blood of Jesus Christ, for it speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel. Every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, witchcraft, spell, dark art, dark magic, incantation, any form of weaponized and demonic activity, enchantment, Father God, and any scheme of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we command it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, and rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And it cast out in the name of Jesus Christ back to the areas you have designated for such, Father, to be blocked from returning or having anything sent in its place. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. We are receptacles, Father God, that to be filled with your glory and poured out, Father God. We are to be salt. We are to be light, Father God. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Father God, that you are on the highest throne, that every breath we have is because of you, Father. You are Yahweh. You are the breath. And we praise you for every breath. And we bless your holy name, Father God. You are ever present. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. Father, we praise you, Lord, that the righteous are like a tree planted by rivers of water, Psalm 1, that yields forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves do not wither, and whatever we do shall prosper, Father. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to take all the glory for yourself tonight, Father God. Open, Father God, our understanding, Father God. Open our understanding in you. Open our understanding of the scriptures, Father God. Help us in a way to go deeper so we can go higher, Father God. Help us, Lord, to go deeper in your word and understand your ways, Father God, that we may understand in this season the ways you are moving. We praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. And if you could share this broadcast right now and like and subscribe, we would, and hit the notification bell, we'd very much appreciate it. We're very grateful to our viewers that do this for us. It helps us a great deal, and it's free for you to do. So we just appreciate and thank you ahead of time for doing that. Okay. Now, at the end of the broadcast, I'm going to give an update on Graham the sheep that is in Cornell right now, large animal hospital on emergency. So tune in for that. We have an update on Graham and Toby at the end, and I'm going to go through everything with you because it's a bit lengthy. So we're saving that for the end. Hello to the Netherlands. I see you in the chat that just came in. God bless you. We're thrilled to have our wonderful viewers in the Netherlands on tonight. Okay, so tonight we are going to prophetically understand the days of Noah and what it means for America, because it's deeper than we think. This scripture goes way deeper than I even thought until the Lord, I perceive it to be the Lord, began to show me these things this morning, and he started me in Habakkuk 1, because we are in a time much like Habakkuk 1. In fact, the things Habakkuk wrote, I see people writing on social media constantly, where is the justice? Where are the arrests? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? And that's the premise of Habakkuk 1. And so we're going to start in Habakkuk 1, because there's something in this chapter. There's a word that's used that's connected to Genesis 6 and the days of Noah, which connects to Matthew 24 and what it has unfolded in America, that in an incredible way is connected to this way deeper than we even initially thought. So we're going to prophetically talk about all of this tonight, because I think it's important to understand the time we're in, what's happening in the earth, that we are in the days of Noah. It's way deeper in the nations than we think, how it's operating, how it's manifesting, how it's presenting itself. And we're going to break this all down for you tonight. AI is even a part of this. Artificial intelligence is even a part of this. And we're going to demonstrate that to you as well in the midst of this, because we have to be equipped at a higher level in God's word right now as his children, in order to function and be equipped in the temperature of the nation that we're in, and globally to accomplish the purposes and plans of God in this time. So we're going to go to Habakkuk 1 first. And a little background on Habakkuk. It's a book that probably a lot of people don't read, but you should read it, because it's a very important book in the Bible. It's one of the most profound dialogues in scripture, because it records a prophet, Habakkuk, wrestling openly with God about evil, justice, and God's unexpected ways of working. Now, unlike many other prophetic books in God's word, where God speaks through the prophet to the people, whether that be a message of judgment, deliverance, or instruction, Habakkuk begins with the prophet questioning God himself because of what he's seeing happen in the land. So this is how Habakkuk 1 opens. Now, Habakkuk likely prophesied around 609 to 605 BC, just before Babylon invaded Judah. And what was happening at that time? Assyria was collapsing. Egypt was struggling for power. Babylon was a ruthless, rising new empire. And Judah had experienced some reform under King Josiah, and they had come back to the Lord. But after his death, the nation rapidly descended back into violence, corruption, idolatry, and debauchery. So Habakkuk isn't speaking to a pagan nation first. He is speaking about God's own covenant people. He's wrestling with God about his own land, the condition of his own land, and the covenant that is supposed to be between the people and God of the land. So this is the premise for the opening of Habakkuk. Now, if we go to Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 4, we're going to start, and then we're going to get into the days of Noah, because there's a word in here that's used in Genesis 6, and the Lord used Habakkuk to take me down this whole road that we're about to embark on together. It says, the oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence. That's the word we're going to visit. Yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? For destruction and violence are before me. Strife continues and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ineffective and ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice becomes perverted. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Now, that part, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? That is the essence of what Habakkuk is saying through everything I just read to you in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He's saying, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear me? Okay, this is what he's saying. This is what he's wrestling with. This is covenant language that he's speaking. So Habakkuk is making a legal case. He is saying, I have a covenant with you. My people has a covenant with you, Lord. Therefore, when I cry out, you are supposed to answer, Lord, based on the terms of that covenant. And we have to understand something. Even in our own walk right now, many times God's silence is not distance. People take God's silence for distance. Many times he is working in the silence, and there's a shift that's about to happen in circumstances, and that's why things get still for a moment. Now, the book of Esther is a great example of this. God's name is not mentioned once in the whole book. Never in the book of Esther is the name God mentioned, yet he was working to bring forth judgment and a divine reversal behind what was unfolding in Persia as evidence that God is always working, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't understand it. He's always working. Now, Habakkuk knows God is righteous. This is why what he sees is so frustrating for him, because he knows he's a righteous God, and what he's seeing in the land is the antithesis of this. Now, that is precisely why he cannot understand what he sees. Habakkuk was looking across the land and seeing from a flesh, natural standpoint what was happening and getting frustrated from what he saw with his eyes. He was not looking at the landscape before him from the perspective of the Spirit of Almighty God's sovereignty and the bigger future picture that the Lord was working to accomplish. So, this is what Habakkuk said filled Judah at the time. It's going to be very familiar given what's going on with America. Violence, injustice, strife, contention, wickedness, and perverted justice. Six things were happening in the land of Judah at the time that Habakkuk is seeing unfold, and he's getting frustrated and he's crying out to God, how could you let this continue to go on? Now, Psalm 1 contrasts the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked and what each will produce ultimately. The righteous will mature and prosper. The wicked are like chaff, which are worthless and lacking substance. Chaff is basically a dry material that is removed from grains that is viewed as having little to no value. This substance, the wind blows. Chaff has nothing anchoring it. It has no weight, no depth, no substance. Therefore, when the wind comes, the chaff is forced to blow in the direction the wind ultimately dictates. That is a picture of Almighty God and the wicked. The wicked have little to no value ultimately, and they are forced to blow in the direction that Almighty God Ruach Elohim says. Now, Habakkuk 1:2, O Lord, how long will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry to you violence, yet you do not save. Lord, I keep crying to you. I keep seeing these things happen in the land. I see the violence, the injustice, the strife, the contention, the wickedness, the perverted justice. How long are you going to let this go on? This is a prophet saying this to the Lord. Because prophets are not perfect. They hear from God. They are given a special mission in life, but they're not perfect. So he's looking at it strictly from the flesh at that point. He is frustrated in his flesh. He is frustrated with what he sees going on in the land. And this is what's coming out of Habakkuk to God. Now, this is a great example. God is big enough and powerful enough in his deity and who he is to handle your frustration and anger. God is big enough to handle when you are frustrated and angry and you need to cry out to him. He would rather have you be truthful with him than give him lip service. He would rather have you be honest with him. And Habakkuk was being very honest with him at this point. Now, in this Habakkuk 1:2, This is where we're going to get into the days of Noah now and America. The Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. It refers not simply to physical violence, but to oppression, corruption, exploitation, and lawlessness. So he's saying, I cry out to you, Lord, Hamas. That is the same Hebrew word that's used in Genesis 6 in the days of Noah, and we'll get into that. So it's Hamas. Now, that's the word for violence with what Habakkuk is seeing happen in the land. Look in the recent years within the earth what has happened with Hamas. Look at what's happened with terrorist groups. Look at what's happened with Islam. Look at the shift globally. There is a reason they are named such. The violence, right? Hamas, Hezbollah, Islam are all attached to the same root that has now offshooted into a new branch called the Democratic Socialists of America. So Habakkuk is saying, look, Lord, Hamas, across the land, meaning violence is on the rise across the land. Now, look at what's on the rise right now across our land. Look at Islam. Look at the Democratic Socialists of America. Look at the strife, the division, the justice system has become completely compromised and perverted. Judges are being caught in bribes. Attorney generals are being caught in bribes. You are seeing an uptick in violence from ideological extremists. Hamas. Now, Hamas and Haman are separated by one letter. One letter separates Hamas and Haman. So when there is Hamas, Haman is present. Within Hamas, Haman and his plans exist. Now, Zoram Bamdani has Haman hidden in his name. You can spell Haman from his name. The Ayatollah Ali Khomeini had Haman and Amalek hidden within his name. Mojtaba Khomeini has Haman hidden within his name. The full name of Hezbollah, Iran, Shia, Islamists, have the name Haman hidden within their name. You know what else they have hidden within their name? We're going to show you. We're going to show you what Hezbollah's full name, what they have hidden. Hezbollah, Iran, Shia, Islamists. Haman, Hamas, and Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, because the earth was filled with Hamas. It was filled with violence. They have this hidden in their name. And in Genesis 6:11, Genesis 6 is about the days of Noah. And in Genesis 6:11, it says, the earth also was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That is the same word that is used in Habakkuk 1. The land is filled with violence, which is Hamas. Now, you have the same word used to describe the condition of the land's deterioration in Habakkuk and in Genesis 6. And in the days of Noah, because what was happening was similar. Now, this is interesting. If you take Genesis 6:11 and turn it upside down, you get 9:11. If you turn Genesis 6:11, which says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, Hamas, and you turn it upside down, you get 9:11. I don't think that's an accident. I think that's deliberate that it's in there in that way. Now, in the days of Habakkuk, he sees the righteous becoming surrounded by wicked people until justice itself becomes twisted. Habakkuk 1:4 says, therefore, the law is ineffective and ignored, and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice becomes perverted. I see it all over social media. Where's the justice? Where are the arrests? Where are the indictments? Why aren't people being arrested? When are the people that took part in Russiagate going to be arrested? When is this going to happen? It's a very similar tone as was in Habakkuk. Now, which has a common thread to the days of Noah, because the same word for violence is used, which is Hamas. Now, you see people saying, why is Obama still walking the streets? Why aren't these people arrested? What's happening? Well, I'm going to show you something very interesting. Guess what's hidden in the name Barack Hussein Obama? We're going to show you Haman and Hamas. Both those are hidden in the name of Barack Hussein Obama. This pattern is not an accident. You're going to see this pattern continue, and it's amazing. So you have that hidden in the name Barack Hussein Obama. Haman and Hamas. They're calling Zohran Mamdani another Obama. He has Haman hidden in his name. And Haman and Hamas are separated by one letter. Hamas means violence in Hebrew. Now, guess who else has Haman hidden within their name? Let me show you, because the pattern continues. Hillary Rodham Clinton has the name Haman hidden in her name as well. Now, where this gets interesting to the days of Noah, Ham, H-A-M, is within the name Haman. Ham is also hidden within Barack Hussein Obama. It's hidden within Zohran Mamdani. It's hidden within Hillary Rodham Clinton. So Ham is within the name Haman. Ham is within the name Hamas. Now, Ham was the son of Noah, who was corrupted. He begot Canaan. So Ham is the father of Canaan. Noah is the father of Ham. Now, Habakkuk might as well have been living in our time and what we see unfolding, because he's very closely describing the temperature in our nation right now and even globally at the moment. What Habakkuk saw in his time was a cross-section of what would greatly multiply in our time. What happened in Noah's time was a cross-section of what would greatly multiply in our time. Where Habakkuk was a concentrated pocket, what was happening, we are watching now this advance across multiple continents. Now, going back to Hamas and Haman. Haman was from the line of Amalek. The biblical passage from Exodus 17:16, God will be at war with Amalek from generation to generation, attests to the fact that this war would continue throughout the generations. Since Amalek as a nation surely does not exist in our generation, the biblical passage attests to a war being waged against an enemy that is conceptually and spiritually parallel to Amalek. Amalek attacked without provocation the feeble and exhausted Israelites who were lagging in the rear of the group crossing the desert to the land of Israel. Amalek at the time was the standard bearer of terrorism against the nation of Israel since its inception. So Amalek is the standard bearer of terrorism. Haman came from the line of Amalek. He bore the standard of terrorism in the book of Esther. Hamas, which means violence, has become the standard bearer for terrorism today. Now, to show you how much this is connected, in the Hamas charter that this group has created, it says, I swear by that who holds in his hands the soul of Muhammad. I indeed wish to go to war for the sake of Allah. I will assault and kill, assault and kill, assault and kill. Now, first, I cancel those words in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm just reading them to you to get you to understand a concept here. By their own charter, Hamas and Islam is a soul tie to the soul of a disembodied spirit of a prophet they regard. By their own admission in their charter, they are holding hands with the soul of Muhammad so they can commit violence. By their own charter, by their own admission, this is indeed a soul tie. Now, don't mind me for one second here, guys. I'm checking something out here because I hear thunder. Okay, we're good. I can hear thunder outside. Okay, now, if we go to Esther chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, 9-1-1, this is Haman talking. This is Haman talking in this chapter, right? Haman is from the line of Amalek, the standard bearer for terrorism. If it pleases the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, meaning the people of God, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry out the king's business to put into the king's treasuries. Then the king removed his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. The king said to Haman, "The silver is given to you and the people also to do with them as you please." What was Haman saying? He was saying the same thing that was in the Hamas charter: assault and kill. Come into contract and assault and kill and commit Hamas, which is violence. Now, guess what else has Haman and Hamas hidden in it? Now, Muhammad, the regarded prophet of Islam, who happens to have a very long name, by the way, that name is abbreviated. He's got an incredibly long name. Let me show you what's hidden within his name. This is his full name, okay? This is it right here on the screen. He has Haman, Hamas, all hidden within his name. Ham is hidden within every Haman and Hamas. So within every Haman and Hamas, Ham is hidden. And that I have shown you in everybody's names thus far, we have shown you tonight. You have Ham hidden within it. You have Haman hidden within it. You have Hamas hidden within it. Now, why is this important? Ham was the son of Noah, who was the father of Canaan. Ham belongs to the only family preserved through the flood. This means Ham experienced the corruption of the pre-flood world, God's judgment through the flood, and God's covenant after the flood. Ham experienced all three of these things. He witnessed both divine wrath and divine mercy firsthand, and he still chose the way of corruption. He witnessed firsthand divine wrath, divine judgment, and God sparing him and his family. He still chose corruption. Now, one remarkable biblical pattern is that spiritual decline often begins with the next generation. This is why it happened with Ham, and it has continued. The example scripturally to prove this: with Adam, it was Cain. Cain killed Abel. The spiritual decline happened with Cain. With Noah, it was Ham. The decline happened with Ham. With David, it was Absalom is where the decline happened. With Solomon, it was Rehoboam. So it's always the next generation that often begins the spiritual decline. Now, in all cases, it was the next generation that saw this sharp spiritual decline and then through corrupted, wicked means attempted to usurp and take power and leadership that was never appointed to them. Ham wants to take power and leadership that he is not in covenant to receive, nor has been appointed to him by God. Now, why do you think the enemy has been after Generation Z so viciously? Why do you think the enemy has been after the younger generation with a venom to take them over? with a passion to pursue them for his purposes. Why do you think the Democratic Socialists of America is after the younger generation and basically hunting them down and trying to herd them like cattle to get them to join? Because the way the enemy disrupts a righteous trajectory is he gets someone in close proximity to the righteous line to commit to doing his bidding and carrying out his agenda in order to bend the timeline backwards and send things into a spiritual decline. Now, if we go to Luke 17:26, this is getting more now into the days of Noah. Luke 17:26, and just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the time of the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah means, this is what it means. When Jesus is saying this, when this is said in the scriptures, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah means Ham and Canaan, which is where the city of Ai existed, would be present. So in the days of Noah, Ham, Canaan, and Ai would all be present. Now, Ham was the embodiment of spiritual decline and debauchery and corruption. So in the days of Noah, we would see Ham, Canaan, and Ai birthed in some modern form. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Not only is Ham hidden in Haman and Hamas, but what I showed you above, look at how many leaders in the past 30 years or so have Ham and Haman hidden in their names. And now you have terror groups rising up in the midst of this. So you have Ham hidden in their names. You have terror groups that have risen up that have Ham, Haman, Hamas in their names. And Ham birthed Canaan. Ai was in Canaan. So when Ham rises, Ai rises. When Ham is present, Canaan is birthed, Ai rises. And I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something to connect this even more to you for the days of Noah and what has unfolded in our nation since. And I'm going to now introduce into this conversation, and you're going to see why in a minute, the pride flag. And you're going to understand why in just a moment here. From 1979 to the present day, that's when the pride flag was first introduced. The most common variant consists of 6 stripes: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and violet, which is purple. The flag is typically displayed horizontally with the red stripe on top, as it would be natural in a rainbow. So the pride flag is the counterfeit of the rainbow with the covenant God made with Noah. Now, its last color is violet, which is purple. It's meant to represent spirit. That is what it's, the inventor of the pride flag said that violet represents spirit. So it represents a spirit on that flag. Noah, the father of Ham, is who the Lord gave the rainbow to initially as a covenant. Noah, Ham, and Ai should then have a commonality in the corruption today on the rise, and I will show you what this is in our day and why it connects to the days of Noah. Okay, here we go. Ready for this? We're gonna do full circle here in just a moment. Canaan, where Ai existed, means land of purple. Canaan means land of purple. So the descendants of Ham should be associated with purple. Now, the color purple is the last color on the gay pride flag, which means spirit. because this is a spirit that's coming through Ham's line from the days of Noah. It is the same spirit that Hamas is working through. You know who I know, and the Palestinian agenda and these radical ideologies. Do you know how I know this? Because they've now joined together. I'm going to show you this article. This was an article. Solidarity with Palestine is not, quote, chickens for KFC. Many of the loudest protesters have been queer and trans people. Among many moments of the LGBTQ plus solidarity have resigned from the New York Times over the paper's coverage of Gaza. The Pride agenda has joined in solidarity with Palestine and Hamas, which has the name Ham in it, right? Ham was the son of Noah, who the covenant was made with God through a rainbow in the sky. So now the LGBTQ agenda has joined with Palestine, who is run by Hamas. Hamas ran that area. Ham from the days of Noah is grouping these agendas together more and more as this is happening, what is happening with AI. So as we're watching now Ham and this agenda come together, you have something happening with AI too. Remember, AI was in Canaan, who was the son of Ham. Canaan's the son of Ham. AI is within Canaan. So AI has to be on the rise, which means AI should be connected to the land of purple too. If the pride flag connects back to Ham Canaan, which is called the land of purple, then AI, which is within Canaan, should be connected to this today as well. Well, I'm going to show you these articles one after the other. The rise of purple in AI branding, a trend rooted in symbolism, psychology, and strategy. No, actually, it's biblical. There's other articles here too. The mystery behind AI's purple problem revealed. And then we have a few others here, which we'll show you. This is not the only article about this. This is a become an epidemic of AI with purple. There was another article as well that talked about that AI is dominated by purple that I saw. And so you have these other articles that are joined together with this, and you can look them up yourself. If you go do a quick Google search, you're going to find many articles about AI dominated by the color purple. So AI has joined with the color purple, which also happens to be on the last color on the LGBTQ flag, which means spirit, because it's the same one from Ham's line that these are all offshoots of. This is all coming from the line of Ham. Now, knowing this, it's no accident that AI is dominated by the color purple, because AI comes from Canaan, which is the land of purple. So the origins of AI in the book of Genesis are birthed out of Canaan. Canaan was an idolatrous land that replaced the Lord with demonic beings as their rulers. Canaan's main god was Baal. Baal's name means rider of the clouds. When it comes to AI, where is everything stored and saved? On the cloud. AI, which is in the land of purple, has everything stored on something called a cloud. So in the days of Noah, you would see Ham come to the forefront, AI be established, right? Which is in Canaan, who they worship something called Baal, which means rider of the cloud. And you would see an established rainbow return. So as it was in the days of Noah, you would see an established rainbow. You would see Ham on the rise. You would see Canaan be established. And you would see AI, which was within Canaan, come to the forefront. We are seeing all of this transpire within our nation and globally at the same time. We are watching Ham on the rise. You're seeing Haman and Hamas. Ham is hidden within Haman and Hamas. You are seeing AI come to the forefront, which is birthed out of Canaan, which came from Ham. You are seeing something worshipped that is called that similar to Baal. You're seeing a similarity here. They worship Baal, but with AI, they store everything on the cloud. Baal means rider of the clouds. So we're seeing all of this cluster and transpire together in the same time. Now, to bring this even into even more perspective of how these things have come into our everyday life biblically, that we need to take note of, the rainbow flag, the pride flag, debuted June 25th, 1978. Pride Month was officially recognized in the United States in 1999 when President Bill Clinton declared June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. Now, Hillary Clinton was the first lady, which we'll get into that in a moment, at the time. This happens in 1999. If you turn 1999 upside down, you get 666, the year that the flag with the six colors that's connected to the color purple that goes back to Ham, Canaan, and AI, the year that the month is established called, quote, Pride Month in June, which happens to be the sixth month on the calendar, is 1999. And if you turn that over, you will see 666. Now, to make this even more interesting, Hillary Rodham Clinton was the first lady. She has Ham and Haman and Hamas in her name. Well, actually, if you put them together, you have the Hamas too. But Hillary Rodham Clinton, you have Ham and Haman, especially, hidden in her name. Ham was the son of Noah. Ham was the father of Canaan, which is the land of purple, which then AI comes out of Canaan. Ham existed and was corrupted shortly after the time the Lord puts a rainbow in the sky as a covenant between him and Noah. So in the New Testament, Matthew 24:37 says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So then in the days of Noah, we would see a perversion of the rainbow. We would see Ham arise. And then we would see AI come out of Canaan, the land of purple, and arise. Now, the people that established Pride Month, William Jefferson Clinton and Hillary Rodham Clinton, their names together, if you put their names together, who established Pride Month and gave that flag standing, what's hidden in their names together, because they were the president and first lady at the time, Noah, Ham, Canaan. Noah is the father of Ham, who is the father of Canaan, in which AI was birthed and raised out of. It is hidden in their names, and they are the ones that established Pride Month and gave that flag standing in the year that is the reversal of 666, 1999. The days of Noah's scripture goes way deeper than we think with implications for this nation and globally with what has unfolded over the past decades. This is not an accident that this is all aligned this way, or that this is hidden within these people's names, or that it was rising when it rose, meaning in the year 1999. In the year 1979, you have that flag established. They're calling the Pride Flag. That was a counterfeit of the rainbow that was made with Noah after corruption was destroyed from the earth. That flag was a counterfeit rainbow meant to bring corruption back to the earth. And the two people that helped establish that have Noah, Ham, and Canaan hidden within their names. Now, if we go back to Habakkuk, we're going to go back to Habakkuk now. Chapter 1, verse 4, for the wicked surround the righteous, therefore justice becomes perverted. Now, that Hebrew word for perverted is akal, A-Q-A-L. It literally means to twist, bend, or make crooked. To make something crooked, it is no longer straight and in order. When something is bent, it is forced in the direction the dominant force is pushing it to go. There is a greater force in the spirit that is causing the justice system to bend in the direction it wants it to go, and not for the benefit of the people, but for the legal robbery of the land. Now, in the midst of this, God finally answers Habakkuk. He answers him. He finally answers him. God answered Noah, and he gave him instruction to build an ark. And he told him when to get in the ark. And because the earth was filled with Hamas, it was filled with violence. Well, the land is filled with Hamas. It's filled with violence in Habakkuk's day. Look at all the what's going on right now with the wars in this earth. Look at what's going on with the conflict. Look at how that is exponentially increased. Well, God finally answers Habakkuk. But he does not answer Habakkuk's question the way he expects. God will never give you an answer from a flawed perspective of man, but from an infinite perspective of his righteousness. When he answers you, it's coming from the infinite perspective that he has, not the flawed, finite, limited perspective of man. So when God answers you, he is the God of space and time that has already gone so far into the future we can't even fathom it and come back. And he's giving you an answer based on that. Instead, he says, I'm doing a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you. This is one of the most quoted verses in scripture. It's also cited in Acts 13, which we're going to look at it. But it's not about a blessing. Its context when he says this is not about a blessing. I'm doing a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told to you. It's about judgment. Acts 13, 40 through 41. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. He's talking about Habakkuk. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you would by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. In the book of Acts, Habakkuk is quoted. In the book of Acts, it is quoted what the Lord answered Habakkuk in the days that the land was filled with Hamas. It was filled with violence. And his answer is, I work a work in your days, which by no means you would believe, though it were to be told to you. Even if I told you, you would not believe it. At the time of the Acts church, the book of Habakkuk resounds. That has Hamas in it, the word for violence, which is connected to Genesis 6, which has to do with the days of Noah. Because God was saying what Habakkuk did not even think of. What God was saying, I have been working all along, even if you cannot with your physical eye see the evidence of it. Habakkuk, I have been working all along, and I have been working in a way that though I were to tell it to you, you would not even believe it. The issue was not divine inactivity. The issue was human inability to recognize God's work when it didn't look the way Habakkuk thought it should. Habakkuk brought this complaint to God because God was not working in a way that checked the boxes for Habakkuk like he thought he should be working in his humanness, in his emotion, in his finite vision. So the issue was not divine inactivity of Habakkuk's time. It wasn't that God wasn't working. The issue in the days of Noah wasn't that God wasn't working. The issue was the human inability to recognize God's work when it didn't look the way that man thought it should look. We're going through the same thing right now. The church's inability to recognize God's work because it doesn't look the way the church in their mind, in their flesh, thinks it should look. The leader doesn't look like how the church says he should look. The leader doesn't speak like how the church says he should speak. And I'm talking about the government, the president, the vice president, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State. Doesn't look like man thinks it should look. So therefore, it can't be God. But really, it's man's inability to recognize how God moves and works when it doesn't look like what we think it should. Habakkuk thought it needed to look a certain way. And God answers him. I work a work in your days that you would not believe it, even if I were to tell it to you. You know, he's telling Habakkuk, you're not recognizing the time and season your nation is in. Habakkuk, I need you to recognize the time and season that your nation is in. I need you to recognize my work when it doesn't look like what you think in your flesh and your finite mind it should look. We make this mistake in our own lives. We think God needs to work a certain way. He's got a certain small avenue. He has to do it in this order. No, he doesn't. He's Almighty God. We're the creation. He's the creator. The creator can move how he deems fit based on the body of evidence of eternity that he has access to. So we think God should be moving a certain way. And if he doesn't in our lives, we go, God, where are you? You're not moving. No, it's not God's inactivity that's the problem. It's our perception of understanding how God is moving in that season that is the problem. We, as the church, have to align our perception with the season we are in with God. Seasons change, and God moves differently in different seasons. And the church keeps getting out of sync with the season, and they keep thinking God is supposed to be moving this way when it's not the season for this way, it's the season for that way. And right now, with the unique time we are in, we can't expect God to move in ordinary ways. He can, but the time requires God to move differently right now in this time, in this season, in this nation. The time requires a certain temperament. The time requires God to move in ways that we normally might not expect. We normally would not think he would, but the time and the season requires it. That's what he was telling Habakkuk. The time and season requires me to move in a way you are not used to be moving, but the time on the earth requires me, Habakkuk, to move in that way. That is what's being said here. And this is what the Lord answers Habakkuk. He answers him in this. In the days of Noah, in the book of Genesis, God moved in a way nobody thought he should move. No one had ever been told to build an ark. No one had ever seen a flood. God was moving in a way that though it were told to them, they wouldn't even believe it. Look how many people didn't get on the ark because they didn't believe it, even though the ark was being built before them. They still didn't believe it to get in the ark. Because man wants to pigeonhole God into moving in one way when God has many ways to move. Many ways that we can't even fathom. Nor can we comprehend or understand in the finality of our minds. Now, God answers Habakkuk, 1, 6 through 11. This is what he says. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, Babylonians, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They come in against other nations like an eagle. Think about that with what we've seen happen with Iran. Think about that for a minute. They all come for violence. Hamas. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap upon earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Now, I want to go back to Habakkuk right here. 1, 9 through 11. Okay, verse 8 is they fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. America is the eagle. God is likening Babylon as an eagle to come in as an instrument of his judgment to deal with the wickedness of a land that refuses to yield. Now, Habakkuk 1, verses 9 through 11. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap upon earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes. This is the warning for America. This is the warning right now. I feel it from the Holy Spirit. I perceive it for the leadership of America. Then his mind changes. And he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. So God uses them as an instrument of judgment to come in. And then suddenly, their mind changes. And suddenly, they praise another God for the accomplishment that God gave them. They come in like an eagle, hastening to eat, to take over lands that God has deemed wicked and need to be judged. And he raises up Babylon as an instrument of his judgment. And when Babylon comes in as an instrument of God's judgment, suddenly the mind shifts. There is a change in mindset. And they ascribe their accomplishment, their military accomplishment, to another God that is not Almighty God. And that is when God then deems that the instrument of judgment now will become judged themselves. That is the warning to the leadership of America right now. If God is using you as an instrument of judgment against other nations where their cup of iniquity has become full, and God is bringing in something as swift as an eagle to destroy the land, to bring judgment on a wicked people that have refused to yield to him. The second that leadership has a shift in mindset and praises another God for the strength of accomplishment that just happened, that is when immediately in God's court, the instrument of judgment becomes the judged themselves. That is the warning for the leadership of America right now. If you ascribe your victories to anything else but Almighty God, you have done what the Babylonians did in the book of Habakkuk when they came in as swift as an eagle to judge Israel because they were being used as an instrument of judgment, a pagan nation that Habakkuk could never even fathom. God would raise them up and use them as an instrument like this. God does this himself. And right now, because the ultimate problem of the Babylonians was pride, which is the flag that got raised in this nation from 1979 on. Babylonians' problem was pride, and they wanted to attribute a victory to a false god when God had really empowered them to be raised up to be used as an instrument of judgment because of the debauchery within the land that Habakkuk was seeing. The land was not yielding to God. And so right now, the leadership of the United States of America is in this position. They have come in swift like an eagle to judge other nations that God has deemed the cup of iniquity has become full and must be poured out. That has now happened. Now, if they stay in the lane of attributing it to Almighty God, of always pointing back to Almighty God when there's a victory, and not moving in the direction of praising the military. You know, calling yourselves the guardian angels of the earth. Doing things like that. That is in the orbit of what Babylon did. So when God is using something, a nation, as an instrument of judgment, the reason they almost always end up being judged themselves is because they never themselves fully yield to God and never praise him for empowering them to come in as swift as an eagle and do what they did. And that was Babylon's problem. So that's a warning for the leadership of this nation right now to not cross the line that Babylon crossed when they were used as a swift instrument of judgment. They crossed into giving the entire victory over to what didn't give it a victory at all. And they did not attribute the victory to God, nor did they have the sense to lower their pride and do such a thing. That's the warning. Now, from this, it's clear that Almighty God can raise up a nation to exact judgment on another. And because it doesn't look the way we think it should look, doesn't mean it's not God. It means we may be failing to recognize the time we are in, or the instruments God is using, or the reason for that season that he's using it. This is why, as in the days of Noah, as well, when you examine the scriptures and the days of Habakkuk, what has unfolded in the past decades of this nation to now, you begin to see beyond the surface which you couldn't see before, and realize the days of Habakkuk that share the word Hamas with the days of Noah that are in Genesis 6 run way deeper when it comes to the leadership, the government, the events of the United States of America and globally, the rise of AI, the reintroduction of Ham, which has Haman, Hamas, but Ham comes from Noah. So in the days of Noah, we should see a prevalence of Ham come back onto the scene with the corruption and the debauchery, because AI came from Ham, who had Canaan, which means land of purple, which then established AI. We are watching all of this on the rise at the same time. We are watching Ham on the rise. We are watching Hamas and Haman on the rise within the earth. We are watching AI come to the forefront and be established as a dominant force. Joshua had to battle AI. He lost the first time. He lost because the camp wasn't consecrated. He lost because he didn't recognize the power AI had, and he went in without the right plan. These things that are in scripture are meant to warn us. If we will only see it through the lens that we're meant to see it, meaning going beyond the surface of scripture and understanding how this has come to the forefront in the modern day global picture and come to the forefront in our nation. When we understand these things and we see what's hidden within the rise of Islam, the rise of the Democratic Socialists of America, what is hidden within the rise of Zohran Mamdani, what happened when it came to the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini and now Mojtaba Khomeini. When we see what is hidden within it, when it comes to our former presidents, Barack Hussein Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Haman, Ham, Hamas, is interwoven as a common thread through it all. As well as that's happening, you've got AI on the rise, and AI and Ham are connected. This is not a mistake that this is all happening now. And I wanted to show this all to you because we need to take the scriptures and understand how what was warned in scripture is unfolding today. How are these warnings from thousands of years ago, given in a book that's living and active and current for every generation, written by a divine being outside of space and time, how do those warnings now come into today? It's cyclical. It's on a prophetic timeline. It's coming into today and establishing itself. And Christ warned, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And in the days of Noah, you had to deal with Ham, Canaan, Baal, rider of the clouds, and AI. In the days of Noah, you had to deal with Canaan, the land of purple. And look at all the offshoots. Look at all the offshoots that are connected to this now. In the days of Noah, you had to deal with Ham on the rise, his corruption on the rise, his birthing of corrupt ideologies on the rise. So when Christ says, as it was in the days of Noah, we're literally watching the lineage of Noah spiritually be birthed forth in the ideologies and the technological arena in modern day in this nation and within the earth. It's no accident, people. It's no accident. It's no accident this is happening. And I wanted to show you all of this because we need to begin to look at the scriptures this way and understand them this way, because then we understand at a deeper level what it's meant. Why is this all clustering now? Why is Ham, Haman, Hamas in the picture now? Why is AI on the rise at the same time? Because it's the days of Noah, and it's Habakkuk 1, and it's Hamas having to do with violence and what is happening in the land. That is why. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, so I could keep preaching in all honesty. I want to give you an update on Graham and Toby because we have a serious situation with both of them. So Graham, our sheep at the sanctuary, one of them, was rushed up to Cornell yesterday, large animal hospital. He's currently there right now with S'more. Why did S'more have to go with Graham? Because Graham may need a blood transfusion. And the doctor said to me on the phone, we need you to send a healthy sheep that we could take blood from to give Graham a blood transfusion. We could do a whole series just on that, on S'more being the sacrificial lamb. I mean, she's still alive. Don't worry. They're just going to take some blood from her and put it into Graham if they have to. But her going up as a lamb and a sacrifice to get blood from in order to give Graham life. If that's not a picture of what Christ did for us when Almighty God realized that your blood does not atone for anything, the blood of animals doesn't permanently fix anything, and so God decides from his throne there needs to be a blood transfusion, and it needs to happen at the cross, and the lamb's going to be put on the cross, and he's going to give the blood transfusion in order that you may live. What's happening with Graham and S'more is an incredible prophetic picture of that. And so S'more went up with him. Now, here's the situation. Graham has to have a CAT scan tomorrow morning. He has to be put under general anesthesia, so please pray. He is fighting progressive anemia, and there is something else going on in his intestinal area. I have given them permission on emergency to do surgery if they see something that they feel needs to be fixed immediately. He is fighting a small fever right now as well. They are trying to get to the bottom of it. Please pray for Graham right now. And please pray for the wisdom of the doctors right now up at Cornell, who have been wonderful as far as dealing with them. So we thank Cornell and their entire staff. And we thank Heather for rushing him up our transport on emergency to Cornell yesterday with S'more. And right now he's on IV fluids because he is not drinking enough and he's not eating enough. And they're trying to get to the bottom of why. We have been trying to help Graham for a while here. Our wonderful farm vet, Bentley Veterinary, has been trying to help Graham here. It got to the point where they felt it had gone beyond what they can do, and he really needed to be in Cornell. And this is why we made the decision yesterday in order to send him. So please pray for Graham and pray that Graham's life is extended in the midst of this, that God shows this lamb mercy that did not have a happy life, that was not well cared for before he came to us. He was already at a deficit in his weight and in his body when he came to us. And we have been working very hard since last year to try to help Graham. So please pray for Graham. I will give updates as I get them from Cornell. They know all of you are watching and you want updates. I've explained the whole situation to the doctors, so they're very aware of what's happening. Also, Toby went to the surgeon today, and Toby has to have surgery. Toby is fighting lung cancer right now, and they believe it's completely operable, which means they'd have to remove a small part of his lung and he would have to be hospitalized. So we went to the surgeon today. Between Graham and Toby, I'm going to tell you, you know, we're past five figures as far as what it's going to cost to help the two of them. And we're more than willing to do it. So Toby is going to be scheduled soon for surgery. And so basically that is the situation we are facing with Graham and Toby right now. Why do we fight for these animals? Well, I'll tell you why very briefly. I'll tell you why. First of all, showing mercy to something that could never repay you is the definition of the love of God. We could never repay God for what he did. And you know what? We should be like the honorable servant showing mercy to what could never repay us, first of all. Secondly, in the Garden of Eden, when man screwed everything up, animals didn't sin, man did. Animals suffered a horrible penalty because of what man did in the garden. They really did. Animals, their entire world was thrown into chaos because of what man did. And so the least we can do, because we made the problem, is actually show some love to God's creation in caring for them. The word of God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So every time we do this for a creature, we're actually demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ every single time. So we put the information up for you if you would like to help, but we will keep you updated on Graham and Toby. Toby's not getting surgery yet, but Graham is very pressing right now. So Graham needs prayer. This sheep needs prayer in the midst of this. He is a wonderful picture of how God intervenes on our behalf. And I just think it's a wonderful lesson to us all. Also, our prayer line. We have a free prayer line. So please call the two numbers on the screen. We have wonderful prayer warriors who are waiting to pray with you and partner with you. It's totally free. Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it is open. So please utilize the prayer line. They would love to hear from all of you. Also, Brace for Impact. If you have not read Brace for Impact yet, I'm writing a sequel to this. So it's a good time to read it now while I'm writing the sequel that will be out. We will be announcing the title of it soon. But if you go to arcofgrace.org, you can click on Brace for Impact. It'll take you to Amazon and you can purchase it. This book goes all the way up to 2028, prophetically talking about what's coming in the coming years, not only in America, but globally. And so I thank everybody that's given it amazing reviews. We're very blessed by that. You can buy it actually anywhere books are sold. It is meant to equip you too, as believers, for the time we are in. We have entered a unique time of warfare that is unlike any other time in history. And so this book is meant to help you get the perspective and equip you for that. Also, two more things before we close tonight. We're going to put up Givaderm first. The wonderful women of Givaderm make an amazing all-natural skincare line. You could use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. Go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. They absolutely love the Lord, and they would absolutely love to help you with your skin. And this is great for men and women. It is all natural in the age of chemicals and skincare. This is something that you can feel good about using, and you can feel good that it is food for your face. Me and Chris both use it. We use their whole line. We absolutely love it. It's an amazing, amazing product these women have invented. So you could go to Givaderm today and use promo code ARC10. We have the Amanda collection there too, a collection of my favorite products with some extra gifts, and an approved TSA travel bag as well is in that gift package. You can use promo code ARC10 for that as well. And Exodus Strong. Exodus Strong makes amazing red light therapy. So they have a red light therapy mat. They have the hat they have for your face. They have a portable one that you can take with you. And they have one you can actually wrap around your waist or your shoulder. And so you can go to ExodusStrong.com/ARC, and you will get the discounted package they have put together for our Ark of Grace viewers. They also put together scripture verses to speak as well, to encourage you in the word as you use their products. But they make amazing red light therapy. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I've started using red light therapy on Toby every day right now, where his lung is. I have been using it every day on him right now, and we have seen improvement. And I use it on Chris. I've started using it on Chris's brain as well, because Dr. Bartlett actually told me to start doing that. So I took his suggestion, and we use it on Chris too, and I use it. It's a wonderful, wonderful anti-inflammatory. It's got so many health benefits. So we encourage you to go there. If you've never tried red light therapy, it is an alternative to Big Pharma, and they have put together a wonderful package for our viewers. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. I know this was a little longer tonight. We thank you for tuning with us. We thank our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. We will be back on Thursday live. We will be putting out shorts until then. So please look for that as well. And we just want to encourage you in the word as we close tonight. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I encourage you to say it every single day and actually walk in what the psalm says. So you can't just say Psalm 91 and act how you want. This is meant to be a discipline and a drawing closer to the Lord. Also, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19 from the Believer's Authority. I say those scripture verses every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. I say that daily as well. Also, reading Habakkuk 1, Genesis 6. There's your reading for this week that you can actually go. We're going to put these notes up on the blog. You can go print them out for free, and you can read along to Habakkuk 1 and Genesis 6 with the notes. And probably the Lord will reveal even more to you, which is what we want to see. We want to see you going deeper in the word. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your evening. We love you. Keep the faith, and we will see you on Thursday. God bless.